Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast with your hosts, Keith Tharp, Mark Sadowski, and Matt Hoffman.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, the iPhone photography podcast for iPhone photographers by iPhone photographers.
I'm Peter Jennings.
Welcome back, folks. I am Keith Tharp.
I'm Mark Sadowski.
I'm Matt Hoffman.
We have a super fantabulous show for you today. And if you believe that, I have a bridge for you in Idaho. I never really understood that old saying about the bridge for sale.
That's because it's an Arizona thing.
Oh. Let's talk some news. First news is not really news, but just a reminder that when you are listening to this, iOS 6 will be available to you for a download. Lots of great stuff coming from it. Panorama app, built-in panorama for the camera, rather. What else, boys?
I thought the panorama app was for the text messaging.
Oh.
No? All right, that's bad. Sorry.
Yeah. Rubber streak. Anyway, iOS 6 is available. Most of the amazing stuff that happens with the iPhone 5 is in the iOS 6 update. I believe that 4S folks are also going to be able to get the turn-by-turn from Siri.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's not just limited to iPhone 5. So you guys will be able to get that. So that's a huge upgrade. So anyway, if you're listening to this and you haven't done it yet, finish listening to this and then go download the new iOS 6.
Very good.
Next, cool. Moving on, we have let's go with news. Objections?
Let's do it.
I like news.
Mm-hmm. So, Samsung and Apple stopped playing nice a long time ago. And I'm reading this word for word because I didn't write any notes. But Samsung has just launched a new ad, and I believe it's in choice locations. Since the blah, 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 blah. Anyway, they have this ad, and it's meant to slam, I think it's initially meant to just slam Apple in general. But what it ends up doing is slamming those of us Kool-Aid drinkers. And the title says, "It doesn't take a genius." And it's a picture of an iPhone 5 on the left and an Samsung Galaxy S3 on the right. And it goes down and lists the iPhone 5's key features that came out in the secret special or super secret special press event last week. You know, 4-inch screen, 4G LTE, Retina display, camera resolution, these types of things. And it mentions that Galaxy S3 has all these, has had them. And then it goes through and lists the other things that the Galaxy S3 has that the iPhone doesn't, the NFC and something called S-Beam and turn over to mute, whatever the hell that is. Anyway, so but the thing that's funny and has hit some people sour the wrong way is it doesn't take a genius. As if, so first, obviously it's a shot at Apple for, you know, the Apple geniuses and whatnot, but it also kind of a shot at those of us fanboys who are waiting in line presumably Friday to buy this phone, and they'll have their little commercial of people walking by because they've already got the Samsung Galaxy S3. Anyway.
Gee, jealous a little.
So anyway, next, in the world is ending again news, Google announced today, or somebody announced today, that Google was buying up Nix Software. And for those of us in the Apple iOS photography, Apple iPhone photography zone, that means what's going on with Snapseed, because Nix Software is the brains behind the Snapseed iOS device, or I mean the Snapseed iOS app. And so there's a lot of people that are concerned, you know, well, there's some folks that are concerned that Google may be pulling the Snapseed app and just putting it on the Android device. And I mean, these are the same people that run around screaming the sky is falling when Facebook buys, what is the stupid app they bought?
Instagram.
Oh, that's right. That little app that some people haven't heard of yet. So, anyway, and then one of the other funny things was we were talking on the lens wipe earlier, somebody brought up the fact that the Huffington Post read an article about this, and their headline was, Google picks up major Instagram competitor.
Yeah, I've been reading countless articles that have a headline similar to that, and I'm wondering if, you know, these people have ever even used either one of the apps.
Clearly not, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That was like the dumbest thing I've seen. Only slightly dumber is when I think the Twitter founder was on some morning show and they had to explain what Twitter was.
Jesus.
Now, what is this Twitter phenomenon? Anyway,
So real quick, let's get some let's get some opinions from you guys. What do you think will be the repercussions or benefits of Google buying Nick and thereby having control of Snapseed?
Well, as far as Snapseed goes, a lot of other sites and podcasts are basically spelling out doom and gloom for Snapseed. I personally think Snapseed will eventually go to free, and it will have more Google Plus, maybe more integration with Picasa, or they're just going to come out with a Picasa app that's remarkably similar to Snapseed.
More integration with Google Plus, that would be like a godsend.
Yeah, that's like dividing by zero. No one cares.
I'm certain we're all waiting for that.
I can't wait.
So, in Tiny Shutter hosts are stupid news. Keith Tharp missed out on the very, very narrow window for pre-ordering the early pre-order of the iPhone 5, and I am going to go back on a promise that I made to myself that I wouldn't again be one of these idiots that stood in line for multiple hours on end to purchase an Apple product.
In your defense, though, even if you had been able to do it, you only had less than 1 hour to purchase it.
Well, that's what I mean.
Unless you have Sprint.
I didn't wake up early enough, and then when I woke up, it was 6 a.m. It was 6 a.m. Eastern time, which is only 3 hours after the pre-buy. And it was already telling me that it was pushed out 2 weeks. And so I said, you know what? I'll just go wait in line. And yeah. So I'm going to wait in line. I don't know what's going to happen with that. Because essentially what I have is a list of iPhones to purchase. mine, my wife's, my stepdaughter's, and my son actually is going to go for the 99 4S.
Nice. So. I'm a little disappointed because my AT&T account said that it was eligible for pre-order. I could upgrade, but what I didn't understand was that it's not going to be the total subsidized price. So I was thinking I was going to buy the new iPhone for $200. Nope, it's $400 for me.
That's sad.
Yeah, but if I use the Gazelle thing, it still evens out, so I'll still pay as much as a normal person.
And I talked about being on the fence about whether or not I was going to hold out for the 5 or possibly jump into a 4S
mm-hmm.
at the discounted price. But after a lot of thinking, I'm going to wait out for a 5. I only have to wait maybe 4 or 5 months from now.
Yeah.
Smart move, man.
I agree.
Brains.
I don't know. I'm tempted. I am so tempted to just go get it still.
So, speaking of iPhone 5s, I would like to move into some reader mail.
Ooh.
And we will call this 007 news.
Okay.
Hi, guys. I just found the podcast a few episodes ago. Loving it. Don't beat yourself up on the coverage of the iPhone 5 event. I thought you had a very unique and photo-focused take on the event that I really enjoyed. Keep it up, Roger. And that is from Roger Moore. Now, Roger, before I move on to talking more about last week's episode, I would like to say that For Your Eyes Only was actually my favorite episode. I mean, my favorite movie of yours. and actually, I just found out today while Googling more information about you that you had been knighted. Congratulations. If you are the real Roger Moore, totally excited. If you're not, still wicked exciting. Thanks for being a fan of the Tiny Shutter, and thanks for your comments about last week's episode. I was actually kind of bummed and uncomfortable about the way we handled it. It was just I was so thrown off by the fact that Apple didn't give us so much more exciting stuff for the phone. Camera.
I don't know. I'm still on the fence with this one because I really think that there's something to this low light capability, and we just didn't get to see it at its full potential.
Maybe so.
I'll be curious to see what happens when you get it, because that's one of the first tests I want to see.
There's a funny video out there. I posted it on the Tiny Shutter Facebook page. If you are not liking Tiny Shutter on Facebook, you should go. These are a group of folks that have done several banned iPhone ads. I don't know if you guys saw the one that I posted, but basically it just went through, you know, some of this stuff. Basically, again, making fun of all of us fanboys and Kool-Aid drinkers, but there was one point where it talked about the new Panorama app, and the guy's like, it's totally like nothing you could have gotten for free 3 years ago. So I thought that was pretty funny. But anyway, awesome. Thank you very, very much, Roger, for being a fan of the show. Keep listening, and we are moving on. So we have an app to review this week, and the name of the app is called iSync Flash. Basically, the premise behind the app is you can have any flash, for that matter, any strobe that you can trigger manually. So if you can push the test button on your speed light, or if you have one of those, whatever they call the button on the back, then basically it's a test light on the back of your on your studio heads or anything like that, this app will sync your iPhone camera with those flashes, is the pitch.
Yeah, at first I was thinking, this thing can't work. But after testing it for a little bit, it actually worked.
So we all three of us went through the testing process, and we have not discussed our results. Does anybody want to draw straws, or does anybody want to jump up and go?
I will go.
Go.
I will do it. I will take the string to Mordor. Okay, just me. So,
well, you and three other people got it.
It took me a little bit to get the app to work. I read the directions, and I mean, it's as simple as that. Turn on the app, get ready to capture, and fire off your flash and make sure you're pointing it at the right place. Very easy to use in that respect, but I found that the user interface was very, very clunky. It wasn't very intuitive to start with. And when I did successfully make my first test fire, I found this big logo on the finished image. And it wasn't until then that I realized that you had to upgrade to the Pro to get the proper image. So that was a bit of a turnoff. Your viewfinder is very, very small. And I don't like that, because part of your screen is for the viewfinder and part of your screen is for your captured image. And I thought that was very unnecessary. Not very user friendly. So that's my two cents. But the app does work, and I really enjoyed playing around with this. And
so let me give you this question. Watermark aside, resulting image quality wise, as far as, you know, general quality?
I liked it. I thought it was good, and I thought it had a great effect. I don't know what I'd use this on, because it seems like I would have to have the iPhone on a mount of some kind, and then have myself, you know, away from the camera part and start positioning my flashes, which is cool. But I don't know what I'd use this for. But that's not to say it's not good. I mean, you could do some really creative stuff, and I'm still going to play around with this. The end result, after I did upgrade to Pro, is a really good photo.
So you did upgrade to Pro?
Yes.
Yay
for
you.
It was 99 cents.
Yeah, that's where the App Store gets you. you know, there's nothing wrong with spending money on good developing. So here's my opinion on the app. I don't know. Did we talk? I know we didn't. This is post show last week that we talked about my thoughts. And so let me start off by saying I started with the iSync app and I started trying to screw around with it. It took a long time to figure out how to get the thing to work. I mean, it's not like click bang easy. I found that my best results were in darker environments because then the phone could read the flash better. Basically, this is. Let me backtrack a minute and say that this is very much similar to an app that's called Lightning Cam, right? Lightning Cam senses the flash of light and triggers the camera in this instantaneous manner, so that you can get the flash exposure into the camera. My results as far as image, I mean, just strictly based on image quality, forget about the fact that there's a big old watermark on it, for the free one anyway, were marginal. One thing I noticed most of all was that my white balance was off because the camera is picking up on white balance without the flash, and then the flash throws a white balance that's considerably different, and so the white balance was consistently off on all of them. Shutter speed was hard for me too. I got a lot of half frame flashes and stuff like that because the shutter sync speed or something wasn't working correctly. And that could very well be me trying to figure this thing out. But let me say that it did occur to me, well, maybe it's just like it is, it's just the same as Lightning Cam. And so I went ahead and tried doing the similar type of thing with Lightning Cam with the same kind of results. Ultimately, I was having difficulty getting the actual camera. Like in a normal light situation where I only want to use the flash for fill, I couldn't get it to pick it up to save my life. And if I increase the intensity of these things, then it would flash
continuously.
Yeah, I mean it would take pictures when I didn't want it to take pictures, and it just became annoying. So it had to be in like really low light situations so it could actually pick up the flash, right?
Right, and that's where I used it on. I was using it in my kitchen at night, and it's pretty low light in here.
Right. So the last thing is I did try it with the Lightning Cam, and you know, like I said, similar results. There's two big differences about these two apps. Lightning Cam, first of all, is $1.99, I think, and and the iSync Flash is free, but you get the giant watermark, literally making your image useless. You have to buy the upgrade if you want to get an image that's worthwhile without a watermark on it. I mean, it's not like you can crop it out or anything like that, or even that you should, for that matter. You're just getting the free one with the watermark to test it out and see if it's of interest to you. The one thing about it is, though, it's 1920 by 1080. That's the largest resolution you can get out of iSync Flash.
Oh, is it?
At least in the free one. Now, while you were talking, you can check that out on the paid one since you bought it. But in the free one, the largest resolution you can get is 1920 by 1080. And the only difference is on Lightning Cam, which is $1.99, you can get larger quality, picture quality type stuff.
Oh, I have the Pro, and the highest is 1920 by 180.
1080.
1080.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So I
didn't even notice that. I'm glad you mentioned that.
What'd you get out of it, Matt?
Well, I had a very specific idea for the types of photos I wanted to take with this app. So I went out into the woods by my house in the evening, and it was getting kind of dark. So I thought this app would work for me, given the time of day. I brought my Nikon SB600 flash with me, And I also brought my Sony camera because one of the pictures that I wanted to do was basically a self-portrait. So I had the iPhone on a tripod and the camera, the Sony camera, on a tripod as well. And basically the idea was I was just going to put the Sony on a timer, and when the flash on the Sony went off, it would hopefully trigger this app.
Brilliant.
But in the meantime, I decided, well, you know, I'm going to just test out the sensitivity of this thing and see how it works. So I was just dry firing the flash with the test button on the SB600. And I could not get this thing to fire off a frame at all. And I cranked the sensitivity the whole way up to, I think it goes up to number 9.
Right, 9.
Yeah. And could not get it to work at all. So I ended up being pretty frustrated with it, but I didn't want to give up on it. So I took it home and decided to play with it a little bit more. I thought maybe there's something to do with some sort of sensor. We're just being outside, it's just not working as well. Like I know with some camera stuff, like if you have an infrared remote, it doesn't work as well outside as it does indoors. So I tried it out in my living room, and I got it to work actually really well in my house, pretty consistently. Actually, I had a few frames here and there where, like Keith mentioned, the shutter speed didn't quite sync properly, but they were really weird effects to where the flash exposure and the non-flash exposure part of the photos was basically stripes.
Yeah,
right.
And, you know, it was kind of crazy looking stuff, but ultimately not really what I was going for. And then the other thing too is even with the phone turned 90 degrees to my TV in my house, it was picking up light from the TV and firing off shots that weren't intentional, which I just thought that was kind of weird, seeing as how the flash outside was pretty prominent. It's not like it was so bright out that you couldn't see the flash from the SB600, but in my house with the phone not even pointed at the TV, it was still firing off shots. So I guess I had mixed results with it. I'm still gonna play with it a little bit more because I still have some ideas for this.
Yeah.
And I had an idea for this app that maybe in an update or something would be kind of cool. I think it would be awesome if this could run in the background and then you could actually take the photo in another app.
I don't think that's allowed.
Yeah, that would be difficult, I would think. But I don't know. I'm not a developer, but I would think that that would be... Like, how would that even happen?
I don't know.
The only way that would be able to happen is if they were able to license off their engine, basically, or
their code, or SDK, the or code, something like that.
Yeah, and give it to other places.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know a lot about developing, but... I guess basically the reason that I had that thought is because I found the exposure lock feature to be somewhat lacking. Not so much the lock, but when I would point the phone at different brightness values, the exposure really didn't seem to change much.
Yeah.
In the iSync Flash app?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and the other thing is that your viewfinder screen is so small, it's hard to get a focus on it.
Yeah, that was the thing I was going to say, is it's the UI on it is kind of weird to me as far as the viewfinder and that big screen off to the right and everything. It's a little weird.
Yeah, right. I think it's totally unnecessary. I think if they had the user interface of Lightning Cam, it'd be so much better.
All right, guys. So let's wind this review down. What, Mark? What do you, what? I mean, do you want to give it a rating? Like, let's say one apples to five apples.
All right. The end result, even though I had to dish out 99 cents for this thing, fine. I'm cool with that. I wish they brought it up another way, but the end result, I would have given this a 4. But because the user interface was clunky, they kind of sneak up the 99 cent thing. I don't think they were upfront with that. I think they should have said this is a trial version and upgrade or to the real version or something like that. They should have spelled that out a little bit better. I think that was very sneaky.
Get to the point.
I give it a 2.5.
Yeah, I give it like a 2. And the only reason I give it a 2 is because technically it does work, but I just don't feel it works as well as it could.
It has so much potential.
I'm gonna give it a 2.5. All right, and I'm gonna say it's a 2.5 because of potential, because of the fact that I can see some fun things being worked with it. But you know, I always have this thing in the back of my head, you know, like if I'm gonna be starting to set up strobes and trying to muck with a scene this much to make it happen, why aren't I going out and grabbing my DSLR and grabbing my photo sinks and all this kind of stuff, you know? I mean it did require a lot of mucking around to get a good result out of it. And in the end the result was like meh. And so I think that's where we are. So I don't know what our average comes out to, 2.25.
Something like that.
All right, folks, let's move on. We are going to move on to another piece of news real quick about 645 Pro getting another update. Now, I know we've talked multiple times about 645 Pro getting an update because Jagger is very much on top of updating 645 Pro. And now we are on a .0 update. We are up to version 2.0. And it's a great update, and it's out. And you guys worked with it already?
I sure did.
Yeah.
Mark, what do you got?
My absolute favoriteest piece of this fine update is that the plus button now works as a shutter.
Excellent.
I will be using this app a whole lot more. I can't tell you how much I use that on the
It's interesting. Interesting how Apple is flip flopped on that. But Matt, have you used it yet?
Yeah, I used it a little bit over the last couple days. Probably my favorite new feature is the two new filters, and they're not cheesy filters like you know, a lot of the other apps that we talk about. They're a hard and soft neutral graduated filter. And I think that's a great thing for this app because it doesn't do HDR, and I really love doing HDR. So anything that helps me have a more balanced exposure, I'm all about.
Nice. That's awesome, actually. That's a great point. So you've used it at this point to screw around with some HDR stuff?
Yeah, this has nothing to do with those filters, but yes, I have been using 645 Pro to make some HDRs, and basically I've been using the phone on a tripod with the grid on the screen so that I can move the center point.
Yeah,
that reads the exposure.
Oh, right. Yeah,
to be able to move that to a different parts of the scene, but I want to make sure that I line the underexposed and the overexposed shots up perfectly, so that basically
excellent.
What I'm doing is taking two shots and then bringing those into Pro HDR and merging them in Pro HDR.
How's the results coming out?
Actually, really good. I'm finding them to be sharper pictures with less crazy colors.
So with that being said, Matt, are you using 645 Pro in a mode that's giving you a TIFF file?
No, I shoot the highest quality JPEG.
Excellent. How about you, Mark?
I do TIFF mode. I do the highest quality possible.
Nice. Cool. All right, so folks, listen up. Everybody gather around, okay? Get close to your iPhones and listen up. Mike Hardacre from 645 Pro and Jagger has sent us over some promo codes, and I'm going to hand one out now. Right now, over the air. There'll be two other ones that I'll be putting up on the Facebook feed over the next over the course of the next few days. So if you haven't yet gone over and become a fan of of Tiny Shutter on Facebook, you should do so now. We'll send over two codes within the next few days. Anyway, so this code right here is EAHXEWYMFKFE. Do you think I should do words for those?
No.
Like elephant, antelope, helicopter, x-ray.
They can play it back too.
All right. So very cool. We are we're big fans of 645 Pro here, and I know a lot of you guys are too, so that's very cool. And if you haven't gotten it yet, now's your opportunity with that code or one of the two codes that I'm going to send out on Facebook over the next few days. So very cool. Head over to facebook.com/tinyshutter. Folks, we're going to move on to our post pick of the week. And this week, it is Matt's turn to pick a post pick of the week. And I'll let Matt take it away.
Alrighty. So I picked a photo from a guy whose name is Buy My iPhone. And that's B-Y. Buy My iPhone. And
So he doesn't want you to actually purchase it from him. He means that the pictures were taken by his iPhone.
By his iPhone. Yes.
maybe he's trying to get in on an early iPhone 5 or something. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what. If his iPhone just magically produces photos like this one I'm going to talk about, I would buy his iPhone. So he doesn't have a story with this photo. But it's a photo collage, and I really wish that he had written a story because I would love to know what inspired this photo. But basically, the photo looks like it was taken outside of some sort of old building, and there's a person in the foreground with their back to the camera, and superimposed over this is some sort of strange yellow glow and a flock of like crows or something in the upper portion of the picture. And the whole picture has this motion blur, which makes it look like the whole scene is like being sucked off to the left or something. It's really got this kind of Halloween type vibe to it. It's just a very unique look, something I really haven't seen before in our feed.
I love the picture. I think it's very, very unique and very, very intriguing. It's easy to sit here and stare into it for minutes on end, but you can sit here and try and figure out what's going on and try and figure out what kind of story is going on behind it. And I actually absolutely love the site. I mean, love the picture, rather. So great choice, Matt.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was really awesome.
All right. BYMYIPHONE on Instagram. Head over and check him out. And you can head over, if you'd like to see the picture, you can head over to tinyshutter.com and it will be the post picture of the week. Cool, Matt. Thanks.
You're welcome.
All right, folks. It is time for your favorite part of the show, Focus Points. And we are going to get started this week with Mark.
Hooray. My favorite app for this week, my favorite, it's a simple app called Picturesque, and it's another painting filter app. Very simple to use. You grab a photo of yours, it does the filter. It does only one filter, but it's a really cool filter, and I wish I could describe it other than that. It just looks really pretty, so you should get it. I think it's 99 cents. I really should look at that. Hold on.
Thanks for your detailed focus point this week, Mark.
I told you it would be pretty quick. Painter.
All right. Thanks. I'm going to go on. So my focus point, and just to clarify, our focus points don't necessarily have to be apps, and mine is not this week. My focus point this week came to me in a rush this morning when I took an extremely amazingly awesome picture of the sunrise. I love the fact that I have to wake up with the kids in the morning, Yeah, I do. Because I wake up early enough. Once fall hits and once, you know, winter comes around and whatnot, I'm up early enough to see the sunrise and I have a great backyard for it. So anyway, here's my point. The long way around to it. I composed and I tapped to expose, and what I got was a great shot. Really good texture, really good color, really good everything. But it wasn't what I was seeing in the scene. The scene was very, very orange and warm with some blue kind of highlights or tones. But most of everything I was seeing was very, very warm. But what I was getting was more of a purpley kind of blue tone. And I was aiming right basically in the direction of the clouds. I mean, it was a very cloudy sunrise, one of these ripply cloud sunrises. So everything was like fiery orange and ready to go. What was happening was my white balance was picking up on all this orange and kind of knocking it down, and I was getting more of a bluish kind of tone to everything. So what I did was I moved over in the sky to a section that had much, much more of the blue clouds in it, and tapped and focused and locked my exposure and my white balance and everything on that section of the sky, then came over and recomposed and took my shot there and got a very nice, warm, crisp, vibrant sunrise. And so that's the tip. You can affect your white balance by moving and locking somewhere else and then coming back to recompose. And I will post this picture tomorrow on Instagram.
You know, that's funny. It's such a simple idea, and I've never thought of that. I'm in such a habit of locking the exposure right where I'm looking rather than another part of the sky where you don't necessarily have to be. That's pretty cool.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a tip I utilize all the time when I'm making HDRs with the iPhone.
Yeah, because it also works, obviously, for exposure. I mean, if you want to really crank up the exposure in a spot, you can sit there. I mean, you don't even have to come anywhere close to where you're actually composing. You can stick it, you know, under the desk if you wanted to and try to compose. I mean, lock your exposure down there and then bring it back up so it's hyper bright, right?
Correct, yeah. And last night, for instance, I was shooting some with 645 Pro, and if I focused on the clouds in the scene, I was able to boost the reds and orange in the sunset a little bit better.
Cool.
Definitely. So I guess we're moving on to my focus point.
It's your turn, Matt.
Okay. Awesome.
Enthusiasm.
Oh, try and reel it in a little.
I'm almost like Tom Cruise jumping up and down on the couch at Oprah's thing about this app that I found.
I'm excited.
Yeah, it's really not that exciting, but I can't believe it took me this long to find this app. It's called Touch Retouch. It's a 99-cent app in the iTunes store. And basically, this app allows you to remove unwanted stuff from your photos. So you got, you know, a picture of your boyfriend or girlfriend, and there's somebody photobombing it or whatever. You could use this app to remove them. Or if you're shooting some sort of street scene and there's some ugly street light or stoplight or whatever, this is the app for you to remove that. And it has a couple of different ways to remove stuff. There's a lasso tool, kind of like what you would find in Photoshop. It even has a clone tool as well. The lasso tool probably works best with large areas that you need to have the app kind of figure out what to do with. And then there's also a brush mode as well, where you could brush over things that you want to have it remove or whatever, kind of like a spot healing brush of sorts. And I tried this out. I removed clouds out of a sky, and I've also added more tree branches into a scene with this app, and it turned out really cool. So right now I'm a huge fan of this. There's a lot of things in my neighborhood that I've been wanting to photograph that have telephone poles and telephone lines in the way. And now I think I'm going to be able to get these shots I want and get all the distracting elements out. So I'm pretty excited.
Interesting. Because to this point, I have been using Blender to do similar types of stuff because you can do masking and stuff in that, but it doesn't have any kind of clone tool or anything. I basically have to create my own clone source and kind of mask it out and kind of do a workaround on it. But I mean, again, I haven't really been doing too much, but it sounds like a super, super fun thing to work with, though.
Yeah, it's really easy to use. You could adjust the size of the brush and everything, so it's not like your big pudgy fingers.
Hey.
Yeah, I was specifically talking about you, Keith. it has a lot of control, and you know, if you go too far brushing over something, there's a like an eraser tool, so you can erase. And I found it to be really great. It worked really good. I had a couple things where it sort of didn't know what was going on in the scene, and it made some weird guesses at what to do, but very few and far between with the tests I've done so far.
Sweet. Awesome. Awesome focus point of the week. All right, folks, that is the end of the show today. Thank you very much for tuning in. Remember, you can head over to tinyshutter.com where you can see this week's post picture of the week. You can also head to the, I think we call ourselves the team page or the crew page or something like that to find out where you can find out all about us, as well as heading over to facebook.com/tinyshutter. If you're in the mood, you can head over to iTunes and give us an extremely awesome review because you know we're doing a lot of work here to get the show out to you. And I think that's it. Make sure you head over and check out Facebook because we will be handing out the 645 promo codes over the course of the next couple days. And I think that's it. Boys, where can we find you?
I can be found on Instagram at mhoffmanphoto.
And you can find me, Mark Sadowski, at casualphotography.net.
And I am on Instagram at Keith_Tharp. All of that information and more can be found at tinyshutter.com. Thank you very much for tuning in. We will see you again next week. And if you happen to be at the Salem, New Hampshire Mall waiting in line, make sure you wave to me. Maybe I'll do some live posts from the line waiting for the iPhone 5. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye. That was our worst bye-bye ever.
Yeah, that's all right.
That's something you say to your kid. That's your worst bye-bye ever.
You gotta learn. I could actually play a little bit of it if you want.
Go ahead.
Here we go. Can you hear it?
No, thanks.
Sounds amazing.
Thanks for that.
Oh, you can't hear it?
No.
Oh, bummer. Never mind.
That was a fail.
Edited in post.
I thought, this is sweet. There's a storm. It's windy as a bitch. The lake is choppy as shit. I'm going paddleboard.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.